reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock. Right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you can join in the conversation, our telephone lines are open. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program here this afternoon with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would take the program today, use it for your glory and for your purposes. Help us to point people to Christ and lift up and glorify the Savior through the things we talk about. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. What a gorgeous autumn afternoon here in northeastern Ohio. And we are driving up the highway today, looking at the colors on the leaves, and it's really been nice watching the difference over the past couple of weeks, and we've really passed the peak of color, I think, here in northeast Ohio, because last week there was a lot more color and a lot more leaves. This week, there's still a lot of color, but it's gone from some of the brighter reds and oranges and such into the more muted bronzes and russet colors. And there's a lot of leaves down. I mean, we've had some rain and wind here over past several days, and I think that's brought some of the leaves down. So autumn is still got some time to go, but the leaves are going fast. It's a kind of a bittersweet time of year. I love the autumn. I love the changes and the colors and everything. But at the same time, it reminds me that winter's on its way, and it won't be too much longer. We had down to 32 degrees at our house last night. And as I always point out, we do live in a little valley, so the cold air sinks down in there, but still, it's getting chilly. But, if you got wintertime coming, that means spring is that much closer. Like I said, you can give us a call this afternoon, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here today with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Want to mention, too, if you'll check out our website at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can find not only our programs that are available there, that past programs, both our Friday afternoon and our Sunday night programs, but there's a link to our Facebook page. And we are on Facebook right now. Live with Pastor Al is the name of the Facebook page. If you have any confusion, you can just go to livewithpastoral.com. And if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can click on the button there at the top of the page to take us to the take you to the Facebook page. And if you get a chance to go there and check that out, you can like us on Facebook. We're hopefully going to have some more things coming up. It's new. I'm new to Facebook. I've avoided it for many years, but we're there, so we're trying to use it for God's glory. So pray for us and pray for the program and pray for our websites there, livewithpastoral.com. All right. Well, we've got a caller calling in. We've got Fran calling in already at the top of the program. Fran, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, thank you.
Hello.
I had a question about this. These ISIS coming in from Mexico and from Canada. I mean,
right.
We have friends in Canada. We're just concerned. And with this recent thing with Canada, too, the ISIS group. And I was just wondering, you know, what the situation with that going to be here.
Well, you know, it's amazing. The whole world pretty much recognizes, and of course, our sympathies and our prayers go out to the folks in Canada, especially
right.
The family of that soldier that was murdered by an Islamic terrorist. And, you know, pretty much the whole world understands that that was an act of Islamic jihad. And certainly the Muslims know it, and most of the rest of the world knows it. Our administration, our president, still saying, well, we don't know what it was, and we can't really say. Just like when the guy, Nadel Hassan at Fort Hood, ran in and slaughtered his fellow army members shouting, Allahu Akbar. They said, oh, that's workplace violence. And that guy who was a recent convert to Islam in Moore, Oklahoma, beheaded one of the workers there and attempted to behead another one. And they said, oh, that's workplace violence. If it had been somebody affiliated with a Tea Party or a Christian group, they would have been quick to jump on that and make all kinds of aspersions. But when it comes to Islam, they want to cover it up. We know that the Islamic State through their media presence, online magazine and websites and Twitter and all kinds of stuff, they're very media savvy. And they are trying to instigate what we would call lone wolf attacks, where they're trying to get people who will launch attacks like this guy in Canada. And a lot of people don't realize the day before there was another one in Canada where an Islamic terrorist attempted to run down soldiers with his car. He succeeded in running two down, killed one, I believe, and the other one was in the hospital, last I heard. And then there's this guy that was in the New York subway last night and who appears to have had Islamic connections. And they're trying to encourage and promote people to do these kinds of attacks, because the Quran says you're supposed to sow terror in the hearts of the infidels. So they're doing what their religion dictates. And specifically, like the guy with the axe or the guy in Moore, Oklahoma, the Quran says that they should strike off the heads, basically, behead the infidels. And so, again, they're doing what the Quran and the Hadith instruct them to do. They're doing what Muhammad gave the example of doing. And so we need to recognize that it is a religious battle. They certainly recognize it, because they call us infidels, kafir, and the things, unbelievers, and things. They recognize it's a religious battle, whether or not we do. But they are coming into this country. I'm trying to think of the guy in Congress. I think his name was Duncan. What was he? But he. Duncan Hunter's name comes to mind, but he had made a statement a couple weeks ago that, according to some of the briefings that he had in Congress, that there were ISIS members that they know of that had crossed the southern border. But our northern border with Canada, that is the longest undefended peaceful border in the world. And there's a guy by the name of James O'Keefe who does various video exposés. He's the one who went in with a young lady into Planned Parenthood several years ago and claimed that she was underage and that they wanted to get an abortion. And they had set it up, made the people think that he was would have been, mandatory reported as statutory rape, but they didn't have any problem with it. And he expose that. There's a lot of things that people look and they can see what he's done in the past. But he dressed up like Bin Laden, and they came across Lake Erie and landed James O'Keefe, and he landed right, and he dressed up like a Taliban guy. I'm sorry, Bin Laden is when he crossed the southern border. He waded across the Rio Grande River back in August or so. But recently, a little more recently, he dressed up like a Islamic terrorist, and he came across in a boat in Lake Erie, and he landed right in Cleveland, right across what is the East 9th Street, I think it is, where that goes out on the pier, where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is, and the Science Museum is, and not too far from the stadium. And he got off the boat right there, dressed as an Islamic terrorist, I forget what all he did, but nobody challenged him. I can remember when my wife and I, a couple months ago, we went out to the Put-in Bay to see the Perry Peace Memorial there on Put-in Bay on South Bass Island. And as you're standing there on top of the observation deck of the Perry Memorial, you're like 300 and some feet up, and you get a great view. On a clear day, you can see the Canadian shore of Lake Erie, you can see Cleveland, you can see Detroit from the tower. Wasn't that clear of a day, but you could see Canada because you could see Pelee Island and another smaller island located between Pelee and Kelly's Island in Lake Erie. And, you know, you see all these little boats, you know, little ships going around, people, pleasure craft, and there's so many of them. And they're going back and forth between Canada. They're going over to Pelee Island. They're going over to the Canadian shore. They're coming over to the Bass Islands. They're coming over to Kelly's Island. They're coming over to Port Clinton and Sandusky. And they're coming through all those areas all the time during the summer. And it's a simple matter for somebody to cross the border. I'm not revealing any secret information. It's just a very simple matter. And to think that Islamic terrorists and sympathizers have not been coming across our northern and southern borders is to be very foolish indeed. It's like the ostrich sticking his head in the sand, not wanting to see.
Yeah. So, is there any way we can stop these guys from coming?
Well, not 100% when you have a free society, because there's always the balance between freedom and security. If you remember back during the Cold War era, it was a lot easier for the Eastern Bloc countries to keep people from coming in, because they had armed guards patrolling their borders mostly to keep people from leaving. And that was always amazing. If people remember their history, the Berlin Wall was not put up to keep people out of East Berlin. It was to keep the East Berliners from fleeing to West Berlin, where they had freedom. And, our country, we've got a very porous border along the southern border, and it's not that we're worried about people fleeing the United States. It's we've got people wanting to come in because they see us as the land of freedom and hope and prosperity. And then, of course, much of the Canadian border, you can just walk across. It's open wilderness. And then there's any number of things. But so you can't stop it completely. But we certainly could do more. As Christians, though, our responsibility as Christians certainly should be to pray for our country and pray for our government officials, and to do what we can. The Bible says we ought to be salt and light in the world. And we should be doing that. We should be getting involved, trying to do what we can take action to redeem our, turn our country back to the Lord. And unfortunately, our country is drifting further and further from the Lord. You look at what's happening with same-sex marriage. You look at what's happening down in Houston, where this group of pastors organized a petition drive to try to repeal the regulation that was imposed by the mayor and the city council that would permit men that identified as women to use the ladies' restrooms and locker rooms and things of that nature. And then they were subpoenaed for anything that they had to say about the mayor or that subject, their sermons, their emails, their telephone conversations, and all of that. And, amazing number of people thought there was nothing wrong with that. They think the pastors were in error. But it's our freedom. If we do not vote, if we do not pray, if we do not go out into the community around us and make a difference for Christ. We have the most secure borders in the world, but it's ultimately not going to do any good. Russia, the USSR, the United Soviet Socialist Republics during the Cold War had some pretty secure borders, But I think most people would not have wanted to live there, as evidenced by the fact that people tried to escape it.
So, well, I sure appreciate that. Always.
Yeah. So we need to pray for
our
country.
I'm really concerned because they're coming in so much now.
Yeah. Well,
and then we have friends in Canada, like I said.
Yeah. So, I mean, ultimately, we need to depend on the Lord. The government can only do so much.
Yes,
you know, the security forces can only do so much. Ultimately, we need to depend upon the Lord. And the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. If we could see a national revival in this country, if we could see a turning to Christ, and, you know, the nation as a whole begin to embrace biblical values once more like we were founded on. You know, these things, we would have God defending us. We would have God defending our borders. We would have God on our side. God would be our refuge. He would be our strength. And the problem is we have ungodly people in government. We have ungodly people throughout our society. And the nation is turning more and more away from God. And that brings us under the judgment of God.
Yeah, well, like I said, I feel that if we yield to the Lord and pray, God will show mercy and turn it around.
Right. I think that's the key, is praying for our country and praying that people would turn around. You know, I mentioned the thing about blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
God is the Lord.
Yeah, the Bible says in Proverbs 29, I believe it's verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And you know, we've got elections coming up in just a couple of weeks. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians won't go out and vote. You know, and they say, well, I don't like who's on the ballot. There's not much choice. You know, most people don't realize you can go and cast a blank ballot. Yeah, that shows that you were there. And, you know, it's just like, as given an example, the other night, talking with some people, and I said, if 100 people vote in an election, there's 100 people that vote, but only 49 votes are cast. That's a pretty clear indication that the majority of people that showed up to vote weren't happy with anybody that was on the ballot. And I guarantee that the Republicans, Democrats, both would be looking at that, trying to figure out why so many people showed up and didn't mark their ballot, but instead voted a blank ballot. You know, if you're not in a position where you can confidently vote for either of the candidates, there's no law that says you can't leave it blank. You don't have to fill in every spot on the ballot. And sometimes you're making a much stronger case than by not voting at all. So we can make a difference. You know, we're called to be salt and light, and that's one of the ways we can make a difference. So I encourage people, and then pray for our country. You know, that's one of our primary weapons, is prayer. You know, the other one's the Word of God, and proclaiming the Word of God. It's sad how many churches have turned away from God's Word. I was listening to Pastor Lutz on the program just before us, and he was talking about the numbers of churches that he sees that have banners, and they're advocating for same-sex marriage and things of that nature.
Terrible.
And you know, that's like when Jeremiah was preaching. And he was talking about the pastors and the prophets that had turned away from God and the judgment that was coming on them and upon his nation because the pastors and the prophets had turned against God and his word. And, you know, they're going to be accountable for that.
Well, thank you so much, Albert.
Well, thank you, Fran, for calling. I appreciate that. And
we'll keep praying for our friends over in Canada.
Yeah, we need to pray for them, pray for those in the Middle East, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. And we need to do all those things and certainly pray for our country as well.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. And you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We got a few minutes left in the program yet here today, and I just wanted to share a couple of things too here. I probably address this some more in our Sunday night program, or maybe a little bit more next week. I was wanting to talk a little bit about some things that I believe will be happening in the world according to the Word of God. And I did have a question sent to me in an email asking about the rapture and wanting to know more about this thing called the rapture. And so I wanted to mention a little bit of that here, and I'll probably talk about it some more in our Sunday night program. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we have a passage that talks about what we call the rapture. Now, I will remind you that the word rapture does not appear in the Bible. It is not there. But the event which we refer to as the rapture is there. It's just like the word the Trinity, or the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible. But the concept of the Trinity does. It's the Godhead. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as the Bible says in 1 John 5:8, I believe it is, and these three are one. But here's the basic concept of the rapture as it's laid out in the Scripture. There's more passages, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, starting in verse 13, "But I would have you, or not have you, to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now, that's the basic idea, and it goes on a little bit more into chapter 5, but here's where the word rapture comes from. In verse number 17 here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." That phrase "caught up" is where we get the term rapture. The idea in the Latin, I believe it was, that "caught up" the word, I think it's rapiro, was used there. And rapiro is the word we get rapid from. And we also find that as a root word in the word rapture and enraptured. And when you're enraptured, let's say you go and you hear an orchestra playing, and they're playing, let's say that you hear them playing Handel's Messiah, and you just get caught up in the music, and you're enraptured. That means you're caught up in the music. You're caught up in the experience. You're enraptured, and we talk about rapture as being soaring emotion, and so there's where we get the idea of rapture, meaning to be caught up, with the idea of it happening quickly. And we see that again, rapiro, in the word rapid, which we understand is quickly. And then there's the type of a sword called a rapier, which is a long, thin sword designed to be moved quickly. And so we see that in there. So there's where the word rapture comes from. If you don't like the word rapture, you can just call it the catching away, or the catching up of the believers, because it's there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 17. And we're going to talk about this some more in future programs. Again, this will be available, these programs, on our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And while you go there, you can click on the link to our Facebook page, and you can like us there. More importantly, we hope that the things that we have there can point you to Christ, because you're not going to be caught up in the rapture if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We want you to be there. We want you to know Christ. And God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.